always helps. Don't want to preach the way that very often I sing without any real notes. Last joke, promise. Got to maintain my membership of that illustrious group. The Bad Joke Club. Praise the Lord. Well, this message this morning is really following on from the last 2 weeks, and if you've missed the last 2 weeks, they are on the website. You can listen to them on the website. But although it's not strictly part three, but it kind of does follow on from talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, God's good gifts in our lives, and how the Lord gives us gifts in order that we can be a blessing into the body. And so I'm really wanting to pick up from those thoughts and just seeing what the Lord would say to us. If you'd like to turn to 1 John chapter 1 and we'll read from verse 7 or at verse 7. And really, this is our text for this morning, and I'll be returning to it. But it's a simple text, and I really think that a lot of what has been said and sung in the worship fits in with what God has put on my heart to share. And so I'll try and bring one or two of those things in as we go along. But even as we read this verse, you know, Steve prayed concerning confession. And so let's just read from 1 John 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Shall we just pray together? Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are always wanting to speak to us. And it's not for lack of you speaking that we don't hear very often. It's for the fact that our ears and our hearts are not quietened or opened to receive your word. So, Lord, I pray this morning that you will open our hearts, open our ears, Lord, that we may receive your word and apply it to our own lives, that we may be more and more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We'll come back to that scripture in a moment. I don't know whether you saw recently, there was a news article. I think I saw it on the Telegraph. The Daily Telegraph, and it was an article concerning a televangelist. Alan knows what I'm going to say. And this televangelist was getting some bad press because he was appealing for money for $54 million. That works out, I don't know, around about 40-odd million pounds. Something like that. That's all. Because he wanted a particular type of private jet. I wonder if I could appeal for, you know, £60,000 for a Tesla or something like that. I don't think so, really. I don't think it really is right, do you? It wouldn't be right.
I'll help you with the petrol.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a very helpful suggestion. Yeah. I'll bear that one in mind. So this chap was appealing for $54 million for a private jet. And his reasoning was this. I read the article, so I thought, what? And the reasoning was this, that Jesus is not here physically on earth. And so if Jesus was here on earth, he wouldn't be travelling by donkey. He'd be travelling by private jet. Because then he could go to places in one journey. He'd never buy a Nissan Leaf, that's for sure. Uh, he, he'd, he'd, He could fly there. He could do all of these things by private jet. And so he was saying that God is working through him, this televangelist, and therefore God wants him to have this private jet so that he can just be there. I don't know if he's ever heard of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said in John 16, you don't have to turn to this, in verse 7 of John 16, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." And also verses 13 to 15. Verse 13. "However, when he, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me, Jesus. For he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." So there the Lord is basically saying that if he doesn't go away, he can't send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will take what is of Jesus and allow us to receive that, to be led into that, to express that through the Holy Spirit, wherever we are. You know, we don't need a private jet because God has placed us in our little corner, wherever that corner may be. We are Jesus' hands and his feet. We are, as we've been talking the last few weeks, we are the body of Christ. Okay, we are part of the body of Christ. It's not just us, praise God. We are part of the body of Christ. That means we are the representatives of Jesus wherever that big jet might have wanted to land. Here in Grimsby, we are his hands, his feet, his voice. You know, we talked over the last few weeks about being different parts of the body, didn't we? And I guess the thought there is that how we need to make sure we are expressing Jesus to the little communities that we each have, that we interact with and work with, live with, family, etc. We need to make sure that we are the expression of Jesus. And that comes back to some of the things that we've gone through in our worship time this morning. And really, that's what I wanted to talk about this morning, about being in the Spirit. We were talking about the last couple of weeks about the gifts of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit that God wants to give to us. And this morning I want to talk about being in the Spirit. Walking in the light, from 1 John 1, is really about being in the Spirit. The Apostle John, it says in Revelation 1 verse 10, he says that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, the inference to me of that is that he could have been out of the Spirit. Do you see what I'm saying? If we can be in the Spirit, it means we can also be out of the Spirit. And the Apostle Paul goes to some substantial lengths in Romans. I'm just going to turn to Romans chapter 8. Because the Apostle Paul talks about this. Let me just read to you from Romans 8, verses 1 to 9. If you want to follow Romans 8, 1 to 9. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Notice in my version, at least, it says "made me free," as opposed to "set me free." When you set something free, you open that cage door and it's free. But if you've been made free, that's a process. We've been made free from the law of sin and death. "For what the law could not do," verse 3, "in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. We'll just leave that there. We talked, I think it was last week, picking up Anthony's illustration of the, you know, the oven with a pilot light. When we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit as like a pilot light, but how God wants to turn up the gas, so to speak, into full flame, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But if we're saved, we already have the Holy Spirit in our lives. We can't be saved without the Holy Spirit. But Paul here is talking about being carnally minded, being in the flesh. And each of us have, when we're saved, we're born again. We have a new nature that is brand new baby born. But we also have our old nature, which very often is what Paul is meaning when he's talking about the flesh. It's not just this. It's the old nature, the old man. And just as we are born as a baby, we need to feed so that we'll grow strong. If our spiritual newborn self is not fed and watered and exercised, if we can put it in those terms, it won't grow. It'll stay as a baby. Okay, now, you know, Ruben and Eliana, they are babies right now. But Antalya was a baby a year ago. She's not really a baby now. She's climbing up swings and getting dirty and wanting to hit you and all sorts of things. And she's grown. There's a year worth of growth there. And that's how it is with us. As we feed on the Word and have our relationship with the Lord, we grow in the Holy Spirit and we grow in our spiritual nature. And it's an interesting illustration because baby Reuben, just to use this illustration again, he received less blood through the placenta in the womb than his sister. And even though actually he was a little bit heavier, when they were born, you could see a massive difference. There's a photograph of Reuben when he was first born, and it's quite a distressing photo. He was really very shriveled, and you could tell there'd been a problem. Whereas his sister was quite strong and quite healthier. You could see that difference there. Thankfully, that's equalising a little bit now. But it's the same for us. If we don't feed our spiritual nature, what's it going to do? It's going to shrivel. It's not going to grow, is it? If we never take on spiritual food from the Holy Spirit, from the Lord, then we are never going to grow in our spirits. And our carnal nature will remain the dominant of the two. If we feed that one, that's the one that's going to get stronger. But if we feed our spiritual nature, then the carnal nature will begin to shrivel. And you can tell people who are walking in the light. We know that, don't we? You can tell people who are walking in the light, who are feeding the spiritual nature, who are abiding in the Lord, and more of an expression of the Lord, perhaps, than others. And that's not a criticism, because Paul starts that passage off by saying, there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation. Because God has forgiven us. But he's saying, feed your spiritual nature more than your carnal nature. Because if we live in our carnal nature, in other words, that we're not spiritually minded, that we're not taking on board the things that God wants to say to us from the Spirit, from the Word, then we will be carnally minded. We will live as if we had never been saved. And God doesn't want that. He wants us to walk in the light. Jumping across to Ephesians chapter 4. We read in Ephesians 4 the last 2 weeks, and talking about the various gifts and about the body and about how when everybody brings their giftings or their spiritual gifts, their natural gifts, into the body, that verse 16, the whole body joined and knit together by which every separate joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, that causes growth in the body of Christ for the edifying of itself in love. That's kind of where we left it in Ephesians 4 previously. But just reading on verse 17 to 21. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And then he goes on to talk about particular things. But basically what Paul is saying there is that when we are born again, when we are born into the light, when we have the light of the Lord in our lives, then we shouldn't be living like we used to live. We shouldn't be living, and that's not talking about where we go or what we do necessarily, more about how we are inside. The church used to say, oh, you can't go to the pictures. When I first got saved, it said ladies couldn't wear trousers. You know, all these external things. If you went to the pub, woo-hoo, you were a sinner. And I understand where that was coming from, but really God's talking about what's inside, isn't he? We can be as religious on the outside as we like, but if we're still full of hate, or if we're full of unthankfulness or bitterness, how are we any different to the Gentiles? And really, those who are not saved are Gentiles in terms of the faith. It's not talking about nationality. It's talking about those who know God, those who don't know God. See, we've been brought in to the Commonwealth of Israel. We are no longer Gentiles. Okay, we're English, give or take the odd Scot or Welsh person or whatever. Still class that as British. We've been brought into the kingdom. We are therefore no longer Gentiles. So don't live like the way the Gentiles live, in the futility of their mind. We haven't learned from the Lord that way, if indeed we've been brought into the truth as it is in Jesus. And it goes on in verse 20. Let me just read from verse 22. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So here, Paul's kind of liking our old nature, our new nature, to a garment. You know, put off the old garment, it stinks. You know, you wouldn't put on a dirty shirt that smelt. Well, I hope you wouldn't. Or blouse. He said, put on the new garment. Garments of holiness and righteousness. And he goes on to say, and I'm missing the verse. about being filled with the Holy Spirit. But I didn't write the reference down.
29, is it?
It's further on. No. Not to worry. We know that the Lord says about being filled with the Holy Spirit. In verse 30, he says, "Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." That's okay. I think it's in the next chapter, actually. Verse 18, I seem to remember. That's not important in that respect. The Lord basically there is saying that we need to put off the old man. Don't walk in the dark. Why would you want to walk in the dark when God's brought you into the light? Why would you want to live like a Gentile when you've been brought into the Commonwealth of Israel? And that leads us back to 1 John 1, verse 7. Before we turn to 1 John 1, verse 7, what I was looking for is in Ephesians 5, verses 7 to 10. Paul is saying to the believers there, don't be partakers with those who don't know the Lord in the way that they live. And he says, verse 7, do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what is acceptable to the Lord. So here, again, Paul is using this same illustration of walking in the light that John used. Don't live in the darkness, he says, but you are, and he says to us, you are children of the light, been born again. So don't walk in darkness. Why would you choose to walk in darkness? Find out through the Holy Spirit what is acceptable to the Lord. And he goes on to say in verse 18, it's 5 verse 18 that I was looking for. Verse 17, do not be unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. The original Greek there has the meaning of being filled with the Holy Spirit. We talked about that last week. Don't get drunk with wine, because that's the way maybe that we used to live, or the way that the Gentiles do live. Don't get drunk. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks, like we have been doing, always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So when we're walking in the light, which is what Paul is talking about here, we're being filled with the Holy Spirit. We're being continually filled with the Holy Spirit, and that leads us into worship. He's talking there. You know, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, verse 18, that leads straight into verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, which is what we've been doing. Making melody in your heart. So the challenge there is, have you been making melody to the Lord in your heart? I'm not just talking about the previous half hour. I'm talking about in our lives. Do we make melody in our hearts to the Lord? Check yourself. Is that me? Am I in that position? If I'm not, why not? We can check ourselves. It goes on to say, giving thanks always for all things, and then submitting to one another in the fear of God. And it's this connection now that brings us back to walking in the light. When we're walking in the light, we have fellowship with one another, John said, didn't he? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And that's really what this is talking about in Ephesians. When we're walking in the Spirit, we are giving thanks to the Lord, an attitude of gratitude, if you want to use that expression, whether we're always able to actually say so, because we've got other things to do, matters to deal with, work, etc., all the rest of it. And yet we can still have that attitude of thankfulness and praise to God, submitting to one another in the fear of God. That's this walking in the light, having fellowship with one another. You know, we each are in submission to one another. You know, we each, we're not in the dark. We're not bumping into each other because we're in the dark, can't see anything. Bump, bump. No, we have fellowship with one another. We can interact. We can submit to one another in honour, preferring one another. You know, like letting somebody go first. I'm using that as a spiritual picture, not a physical picture. You know, submitting to one another, helping one another, encouraging one another. I know we don't always achieve that. But if that's our heart, then when we fail in doing that, there can be forgiveness, there can be grace, there can be that covering, there can be that restitution, which is what we need, because none of us are yet perfect. I promise no more jokes, so I won't say anything. We all have things that need to be confessed and forgiven in our lives. Let's jump back to 1 John 1 verse 7. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. None of us are perfectly clean. And I meant to bring a torch this morning, but I meant to bring my bike torch. And I'm annoyed with myself that I forgot it. Because a couple of weeks ago, we had a strange smell in the kitchen. And could not find what it was. Emptied the bin, cleaned the bin, went behind the fridge, swept the floor, still was there. Couldn't think what it was. So I got out my bike light, my bike torch. It's a very high intensity torch. And I put it on the floor to shine in the dark places, the dark places of our kitchen. And I was shocked. I was shocked what I could see with a bright light. A floor that I thought was clean. And I meant to bring it so that we did it on the floor in here. And it looks like somebody's swept, actually, today, very often.
You say it in Al Cowan's out there, don't you?
Got to be careful about these things. If you take a bright light and shine it in your kitchen floor, well, it shocked me anyway, what I could see. And I thought I'd just swept this. So out came the mop, etc., etc. Out came the fridge. And with a bright light, you can see things you can't see in ordinary light. Try it. You may be shocked. And what is the word but a torch? It's a light, isn't it? Your word is a light to my path, a lamp to my feet. In Hebrews, it says it's sharp and even cuts to the difference between soul and spirit and bone and marrow, etc. So when we walk in the light, we've got to be a little bit brave, because the failings that we have, those dark corners, will get exposed. But you know, that's for our good, because God doesn't want us to have a bad smell. He doesn't want us to have a bad smell. He doesn't want us to smell horribly in the nose of those we interact with. Okay? I know it's a silly illustration, but it's the truth. He wants us to be the fragrance of Christ. Another scripture there in Corinthians. He wants us to smell sweetly like the Lord did. Speaking figuratively here. But it's always good to have a good wash and a spray with deodorant as well. So that we do smell sweetly. It's not good when we smell a horrible smell. And that smell in our kitchen was horrible. And we think we sorted it out. I think it was the steam of the kettle on some of the wood surround on the wall unit, because once I moved the kettle, it disappeared. But it was a mystery. But you know, we can have smells that we're not sure where it's coming from. Well, if in terms of our spirit, I'm talking about now. But if we allow the light to shine, we can be cleansed. You can be mopped. You can be swept. You can be made new so that you smell like the Lord, so that your fragrance is a sweet smelling fragrance in the Lord. And I want to finish, really, with the classic example of King David. Because really, one of the things that I'm wanting to focus on in this message is that the Lord says to us, there is no condemnation. There's no condemnation. If you think, well, that he's describing me there, that's where I've been, or that's what I've done, or that's how I can recognise myself in that description, because I can recognise myself in that description, okay? None of us are perfect, but Paul says there's no condemnation. God does not condemn us. Even if our spirit condemns us, he does not condemn us. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. King David, a man anointed of God for a purpose. God had been with David, brought into the throne, brought into kingship, did amazing things through him, restored the kingdom or established the kingdom under David's command. Those wonderful psalms that we read, the very words of God, imagine being used of God to write some of those psalms that David wrote, to put in place the structures, the organizations, everything that was needed for kingdom building, really. David did that, restored the Ark of God to Jerusalem. But you know, David was not a man without mistakes or faults. Yet God used him. God knew what David was going to do, even when he called him to be king, way back when he was just a young man of 17 or so. God knew. You know, the classic example of David, and homework for this week, is to read 2 Samuel 11 and 12. And I'm just going to allude to that situation because we're probably familiar with it to a certain extent, but it's good for us to read it afresh, remind ourselves about this. And it starts off in you don't need to turn to it right now, but you are welcome to do so. It starts off in verse 1 of chapter 11 of 2 Samuel. It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David didn't go out to battle. He sent somebody else in his place, and he stayed at home. And in verse 2, he finds himself, you know, with idle hands. We know who finds work for idle hands. We find himself suddenly being caught in temptation because he wasn't doing what God really wanted him to do. He wasn't in that place where he should have been physically. And we can fall into these same things. David, this, you know, David had been king for some time at this point. David became guilty through being in the wrong place at the wrong time, allowing a laxness into his spirit, really. He became guilty of lust, adultery, treachery, even though he'd written, as we were reading on Friday night in Psalm 25, let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Here he is, in dealing with Uriah, dealing treacherously without cause. He became guilty of murder. It goes on at the end of the chapter, 2 Samuel 11, last verse. The thing that David had done displeased the Lord. We've been reading in Ephesians, find out what pleases the Lord. We do that when we're walking in the light. David was clearly walking in his carnal nature. He clearly was walking in the flesh. He clearly had allowed, you know, the balance of power inside to go to his carnal nature. The thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And God challenges him, as God will challenge us when we need a challenge in our lives. There has to be a challenge when we need that challenge. Even though sometimes that can be hard. Hebrews talks about that, doesn't it? The Lord chastises us because he loves us. And the Lord even says to him through Nathan, he says, you're the man, you're the one, you are guilty. You have done all of this thing. And God says to me, verse 8, I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would also have given you much more, God says to David. Now, we were talking about God's good gifts, weren't we, recently? God says to David, who had all of these tremendous blessings and gifts and honour in his life, God says, if you'd have wanted more, I would have given you it. But he didn't ask, he just took, because he was walking in the flesh. And we know that when he was challenged like that, that David, because he had a heart after God, verse 13, so David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord has also put away your sin, you shall not die. So in that one verse, we see that repentance, that heart that suddenly realizes, what have I been doing? What have I been like? He repents. I have sinned before the Lord. And God forgave him. He confessed his sin and God forgave him. If we confess our sins, I don't think any of us have actually murdered. I hope not. But we can be guilty of murder in our hearts, can't we? We can be guilty of adultery and adultery in the heart. We're certainly guilty of lust. I think it's probably none of us here, certainly men, that can say we're not guilty of that. But God will cleanse us. He will forgive us. The Lord forgave David. There were consequences for David. There were severe consequences, okay? We can't always escape the consequence of our sin or our hard-heartedness. But there is forgiveness. There is no condemnation. God doesn't condemn us. He cleanses us. So let's just jump back to 1 John 1, verse 7. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. What? You're not perfect? What a shock. What, I'm not perfect? What a surprise. None of us are. So don't be consumed when you fall. Don't let it overwhelm you like it's a major shock. God would never have saved me if he knew I'd do this. Wrong. God has saved us. He's brought us to himself, even though he knows how desperately wicked our hearts are. The word says, our heart is desperately wicked. We've been cleansed. We've been forgiven. If we say, verse 10, that we have not sinned, we make God a liar, it even says, because God knows we are sinners. If we fall into sin, there's a simple thing. If we realize that we've been hard-hearted, if we realize that we've been walking in the flesh and not the spirit, there's a simple response to that. Confess your sin. He is faithful and just and will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will take away that smell, spiritually speaking, from our lives and replace it with the fragrance of Christ, if indeed Christ dwells in us, if indeed we are walking in the light. There's a lot more, really, that we could say about this subject, and really what I set out to talk about originally in preparing the study was the anointing. And maybe that's for another time. But God is saying to us, he wants us to walk in the light. And we have to check ourselves. The Lord has works waiting for us to do. He's got eternal works waiting for us to move into. And God will use us despite all our imperfections, just like he used David. You know, David became the lion of the Messiah. He became the bloodline of the Messiah, despite his faults. God will use us as his hands and his feet and his voice. We don't need a $54 million plane to be the hands of Jesus, to be the feet of Jesus, to be the voice of Jesus to those around us. But we do need to walk in the light. Because if we're walking in the darkness, we're just going to bump into things. We're just going to make a mess of things. The good news is that he will cleanse us of all the darkness that we've been walking in. He will cause us to walk in his light if we turn to him. And I want to finish by reading or trying to recite the words of an old song that we used to sing many years ago. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And so that's the thing. Turn our eyes upon Jesus. You know, we can be so focused on things of darkness sometimes. Turn our eyes on him. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Shall we pray together? Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for your incredible mercy towards us, Lord. You know from even before we were saved, before we were even born, Lord, you knew what we would be like. You knew, Lord, how hard-hearted we would perhaps become, or the things we would perhaps do, or all our faults. And yet, Lord, you chose to bring us into the light. You chose us to be your children, to come into the commonwealth of your people. And so, Lord, I thank you that you say, walk in the light, and that we can do that. We can choose to walk in your light, Lord. We can choose to dwell in your presence. We can choose, Lord, to abide in you and your word in us. So, Lord, help us to choose this day to do that. Lord, we want to be like John, as I mentioned earlier on, leaving a legacy of love and joy and service as a testimony to your great name. Help us, Lord, to deal with whatever has been plaguing us, perhaps. Help us to walk in your light as you are in the light. In Jesus' name.